Content warning. This podcast contains references to fascist imagery and sexual assault.
You're watching Channel 37. WHXN. New Salem.
From out of the depths it came, here's some more After Midnight from Channel 37's Midnight Movie Show. Here's a movie full of sex and drugs that was written by someone with no apparent experience with either. It's Alien Private Eye.
Hello and welcome to Channel 37's Midnight Movie Show. I'm Dan, and with me are Dave.
Hello.
Mike.
Hello.
And Will.
Like a thermonuclear device.
Yes. Oh, that can only mean that it's after midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, and Will said, "Hey guys, we should watch this. We should watch Alien Private Eye."
Why do we keep falling for this? Why does whatever Will says, "Hey, let's watch this," we go, "All right then"?
Oh, trust me, I have worse films like I said, and you know that's correct.
Yeah. Trusting you is the problem, Ackerman.
Welcome back, Mike.
Yeah, little's changed.
What can I do for you?
You can find something for me.
Without the other half, this thing is worthless. How could you lose something like that?
That man, he's been following me.
Why is everybody after that goddamn disc?
My brother's been poisoned. He's been addicted to some kind of drug.
Do this drug 5 times, you're hooked for life. You do it a couple hundred times, you die. You go cold turkey, you die. I'm in love with another woman. An Earth woman. I told her I was an alien.
Yo, dude!
A terrible force is about to be unleashed on your world.
Man, guys like that just make me want to kick ass.
I'll handle these sons of bitches myself.
Renee!
She saw my ears.
Why don't you get those things clipped, dude?
Yeah, right. Then when I go back to my own planet, all the people there will think I'm an asshole.
Oh, Will, why did you pick this?
So there are a couple of reasons. One, because we had already covered Action USA and and Spookies, which were the other two movies that were covered on a particular episode of Best of the Worst. So I was like, why don't we complete the trifecta? Mm-hmm. But also, this is a film that had been on my watch list on Letterboxd for like 2 years, because I'll just occasionally go through and be like, I want to see, like, you know, terrible films I haven't seen. And okay, cool, I'll remember to watch them later. And earlier this year I did. And within like 10 minutes of the film starting, I was like, yeah, this is going on like the special list.
Yeah. The special list. Okay. I assume that this was everybody's first time watching this.
You would assume,
well,
correctly.
Except for me.
Yes, yeah. Except Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, up to this point, this film has had yet to bless my life.
Oh, would you watch it for a million quiblets, Dave?
No. not again.
I don't know, that's a lot of money where Lemro comes from.
Yeah. Oh god. I mean, the dollar to quiblet transfer is insane.
The exchange rate is very beneficial right now.
Yeah, with those 2025 tariffs, fuck it up.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, how much extra are you paying for like a dose of Soma now?
Mm.
It's like 50,000 extra quiblets or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I just used to do like the American to Canadian dollars thing.
Yeah, kind of. All right. Well, Will, you did this. So why don't you tell us, why don't you tell us what this movie's about?
Okay. Sorry, if our podcast has a motto, Will, you did this, it's probably this.
Dan's rethinking the album artwork.
Okay, then. So, the film centers on Lemro, who is our title alien private eye. He is from a distant planet where people have Spock ears. Really bad-looking Spock ears. Correction. Anywho, he... In the first 10 minutes of the film, he goes on, saves a young woman like two different times. They go disco dancing, they have sex, and then she's grossed out by his ears, either because she believes that he is an alien or he's a Star Trek enthusiast. You're not sure which.
No, he got his ears caught in an industrial rice picker.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a gang war between two drug dealers, and then when one drug dealer wins, an even eviler drug dealer, Kilgore, kills the first drug dealer, and it's like, I'm taking over the drug trade here, and also I'm taking like half of this frisbee that everyone seemed to want. Meanwhile, the other half of the frisbee is held by the young woman whose name is Renee. Yeah.
Oh, Renee.
Not that anyone's name in this movie matters half the time. At his office, Lemro is approached first by a woman named Electra, who's also an alien, and then by another man by the name of Scamma, who's also an alien. They both obviously want the disc, but they're kind of being cagey about it all. Long story short, though, Renee's brother got addicted to this. To the drug that Kilgore is dealing, which is called Soma, which is ultra addictive and also ultra deadly after so many uses. There's a bunch of back and forth. The film briefly becomes a after-school special about drug addiction, and then they go and fight. They kill Kilgore and retrieve both halves of the disc, and everyone's happy. And also, I guess, Lemro is staying on Earth with Renee, or they're going to back to the alien planet, or I don't know. The film just kind of ends. Like, it's basically a canon film where it's like, okay, we filled up 90 minutes, we're done.
It doesn't end so much as stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, Will, thank you for that. Yikes. Okay, I guess we'll start with you, Will. Tell me what you were thinking.
So, this is, it's a terrible film, but it's just, like, gloriously terrible. Like, like I said, in the first 10 minutes, we have two fights. We have, like, the worst Michael Jackson impersonation. And then we have a number of other things. But also the film does something very curious that you don't really realize until you're further into the film, which is cribbing its plot from the Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right down to the fact that somebody is doing literally the worst Peter Lorre you've ever heard.
Uh-huh. It's like Peter Lorre by way of Boo Berry. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, kudos to the actor. He's used to, you know, playing roles where he's dressed up as a gorilla. But, yeah, no, it's just like... it's just hilariously stupid constantly. And like I said, it turns into an after school special for a little bit because it's like, okay, cool. We're going to go and hole up it for like 3 days in a hotel and get over our drug addiction. And also by the end, you're not sure if Lemro is really into Renee or really into her brother, but regardless, also he's dressed up as Michael Jackson for like the first half of the film. And it's like, okay, that's a choice.
I mean, to be fair, he's dressed like Michael Jackson for the whole of the film. He just goes through several kind of costume variants. Like, if he was a series of action figures, there would be sort of like there'd be regular Lemlo, kind of undercover ninja Lemlo, and then sort of like denim tassel nightmare Lemlo.
Yep. Laser Gauntlet Lemro.
All right. Well, Will, thank you very much. And I'm sure we'll dive into various aspects of things as we go. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, sir?
I am doing well.
I am so glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, well, as I said, welcome back. Tell me what your experience was watching this movie.
This was a perfectly cromulent movie. It was fine. It wasn't terrible.
Excuse me.
In line. I didn't say it was good, man. I said it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I still take issue with the statements.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was, I think I was amused by it more than anything else. Yeah. Like, it starts out with, it's like you can see in the beginning, like, the Terminator influences. Like, there's legitimately a shot where he stops and, like, looks around like Arnie does shortly after he arrives in the first Terminator movie. So yep. I'm like, okay, by the title, I know he's an alien, but is he also a cyborg? So it had my interest. And then it did what it did. It did exactly what I expected it to do, which was not entertain me. So, you know, it was absolutely fine. It was a 1980s action movie. Yeah. With a lot of stuff that didn't make sense, with a MacGuffin, with drugs, you know, with a bunch of gangs, and I was like, okay, you're doing what I expected, movie. So yeah. You do you.
Okay,
you give the little brother pat on the head, and you do you. Yeah. You know, and would I watch it again? Yeah, maybe. I actually might.
It's definitely a good bad movie night movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, if for nothing else, just like the Michael Jackson-ness of Lemro in those first few minutes, just like just sitting someone down and like not telling them a damn thing about it, except maybe the title, and have them look at you being like, the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, like that would entertain me if I did bad movie nights, you know, yeah. So that's sort of my takeaway.
All right.
From, you know, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Dave, have at it.
Well, you know, I like a good bad movie as much as the next person. Like, sure. You know, I love The Room. I enjoy Samurai Cop for the incompetent chaos that it is. So, like, I had high hopes going into this when, you know, in the opening sort of, like, minute, you see somebody who looks like they've been the victim of a drive-by makeover by the cast of Break It. And then when he goes on to sort of, like, yeah, like, he has a martial arts fight with some street thugs, and then like he takes a lady to his terrible apartment. They go dancing. You know, I was kind of like, okay, then this could be like cheesy, badly made nonsense that could be entertaining. But then it started kind of going off the rails even as that, because like when wakes up and he's kind of like. Repulsed at him. I'd actually missed what she'd seen that made her so. Oh my god! This is like what? What's happened? And then, sort of like you just sort of see that, you know, his slightly bigger ears. And he's like, what? That was it? I thought it turned out like he might have had like an octopenis or something. And it's like, no. He's just like slightly bigger ears. And then it starts. Wholesale homaging the Maltese Falcon,
yeah,
complete with terrible Peter Lorre impersonation, and like I feel sorry for that guy because like they clearly thought it would be funny to do it with a Peter Lorre impression, and then realised they were locked in with it for the rest of the film,
right?
But like the Maltese Falcon is one of my favourite films,
yeah,
and this is no Maltese Falcon. Like, the guy playing Lemlo has the charisma of an IKEA flat pack furniture box.
Not even the furniture, the box it comes in.
He talks. He talks like a character in an RPG when he's talking to other people. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, what thing? What happened? What happened then? And like they're just kind of like responses just to keep the other person's dialogue going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that wasn't great. And then, like, it just gets a bit boring in the middle. like, this, yeah, this whole, oh, Soma, yes, we've read Brave New World, well done. and then there's a random sort of one scene where he's apparently there to have Kilgore kill a priest and establish he's got a poisoned tooth, which he's never mentioned again. So why is that there, other than to fill time? Yeah, and then so there's a, like you say, there's a weird kind of like 5 minute rehab scene where they're going cold turkey and punching walls. But yeah, it just kind of like, it starts off kind of at least OTT, but I found sort of in the middle it just kind of sagged and I was just bored. And like, it pokes up a little bit at the end when he starts kind of like, you know, showing up with his wrist lasers and Kilgore randomly starts worshipping Hitler.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but yeah, sort of like the end's like is cheesy and in a fun way, and the beginning is, but there's a great big tract in the middle which is just sort of, I don't care about any of this. and also you're doing a terrible version of a really good film.
Yeah. All fair points. Those first 10 minutes are wild.
Yeah.
They are working so hard to put Lemro over. They are stuffing everything they can in those first 10 minutes. He wins two battles with the, you know, like one on five street gang. He dances. He takes the lady out. She takes her boobs out and they have amazing mind-blowing sex, apparently. We're supposed to really think that Lemro is the shit at the end of those 5 minutes. To the point that she like takes his hat off during, yeah, because he takes the hat to bed with him. She takes his hat off, sees his ears, is like, oh my God, but then allows, you know, the evening to continue to the point that she like, you know, falls asleep next to him and they do all that. And it's not until the next morning that she's like, oh my God. Like, you saw them a few hours ago and you were okay with it. I will agree, Dave, that the middle does kind of sag. The actor that plays Lemro is a martial artist, but the fight scenes are not filmed very well. So every time he gets into a fight, like, you can see that there are impressive things happening, but they're not actually shown to us in a way that is exciting, which is a shame.
Yeah, like one of the ending fight scenes is almost completely in the dark, isn't it? Yeah. Like you can just see a few kind of legs and arms flying around, but, but you can't really kind of get,
it's like Andy Kapp and his wife in the cloud.
A martial arts style known as British.
Yeah. Oh.
But Dan, I'm glad you said that the actor's background is actually martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was, I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask, because I was wondering if he was a martial artist or a dancer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we were in the, because that's Jean-Claude Van Damme's background, right? Dancer?
I believe so.
Am I right in assuming that?
I know that he's got some dance training. I think he is also a martial artist.
Oh, okay. But all the same, I thought this guy had that background. It was a dance background, mm-hmm, as opposed to a fighting one. But I hear what you're saying, and now I can see it the way you were explaining. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish that those scenes had been shot better.
Yeah.
In fact, that's kind of a thread throughout the movie. One of the main knocks that I have against this movie is that it's actually very poorly edited.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that you have a conversation happening between two people, the camera moves back and forth between those two people. You know, person A, cut, person B, cut, person A. And then there's always like a half second too long between cuts. And so you know, people are just talking like, you know, we're looking for the disc. Where did you see it last? This person over here had it. How did he get it? You know, like, it's just a little bit too long between lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it all that does is really drill home. Honestly, the actor that plays Lemro is a terrible, terrible actor. He's a very terrible actor, and I'm sorry, but he's just not good. And the editing, all the editing does is kind of wait, you know, give you a half an extra second to wait to see how he's going to say the next line.
I think is that those pauses that reminded me of a video game, like an RPG kind of exchange.
Yeah,
like there's slightly, because it's almost like we're watching somebody else's kind of playthrough, and like we're just waiting for them to pick the response.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get like the little response wheel under Lemro.
I mean, like, if somebody made this into an RPG, I'd probably play it.
Yeah. Towards the end, like once it starts ramping up again, though, it gets very fun. I love there's a car chase, kind of. And you could tell that, like, you know, this is where they were going to spend a big chunk of their budget, because they had like this little car just kind of hit another car, just kind of very carefully, like kind of glides up behind another car and tink, and then it's just boom, just enormous fireball of flame.
I was like, in a way, the whole him being an alien thing is almost inconsequential.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, you could have removed the alien side of it and, like, you wouldn't have had to rewrite it much. Like, yeah. It could have just been that Sober was a new designer drug. Yeah. Like, it didn't have to be alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he has no, like, alien abilities, mm-hmm. you know, unless you count rhythm. and he has, you know, but there's no kind of, like, special kind of things that he can do as an alien that, you know, a person couldn't do. So, like, this could have just been, yeah, sort of tacking the word alien on it and, like, just having an excuse to have, like, shoot 3 mediocre lasers at people.
You know, the funny thing is, Dave, that had not even occurred to me, but you're 100% correct. Yeah. If everybody on this show had been from Earth, it would have been the exact same word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there were several points where I was waiting for him to display some sort of alien superpower. Mm-hmm. Like maybe he was slightly bulletproof. Maybe he could fly. And then I'm like, Mike, this movie has no fucking budget. Like, I mean, or they're saving it for the big explosion after the tiny car crash. But all the same, like I really had to remind myself, like, no, dude, you can't, the ears are it. Like that's what you're getting. And the only other alien thing is they found a black plate and they used a silver Sharpie to scribble some ruins on it or whatever, you know, like, and so I just had to kind of get over my limited expectations.
I have to say, slightly bulletproof is the most wonderfully daft superpower of it. Ow! Stop it! Right. It's only gone partially into my spleen.
Like, honestly, like, yeah, I agree with Dave. Like, that is something that I came away from this viewing with. Of, yeah, him being alien is almost incidental to the plot. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, it's there for the occasional bit of conversation of, like, oh, she's from Earth. I'm an alien. Yeah, I could get surgery to remove my ears, but what if I ever went home? And then everyone, and pretty much people being like, you're a legend back on our home planet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like
they kept saying it, but they never said what for. Like, is that why? Like, is he just like a legendary layabout? Like, oh yeah, we've all heard about that loser Lemlo. God, get a job.
He's like, you know, Mr. Shoulder Pads, 1986.
And then briefly, you know, there's the point where it's like apparently, apparently the liquor Chambord comes from space, I guess. And it's like, because literally, so basically there's a scene where Lemro brings out like a bottle of liquor when he's with Skama, and it's just like, this is the nectar of the gods from our home planet. And it's like, that's a bottle of Chambord. I know what a bottle of Chambord looks like, because it's a distinct bulb shape. It's just you covered it in gold tinfoil because you didn't want to have to pay them to use its likeness.
It is so tasty. It tastes like home.
It tastes like really, really weird raspberry. Okay. Home is weird. And then later on, he's describing home to Renee, and I'm like, you're making this shit up, aren't you?
You know what I didn't get, and I thought this was so weird, is we saw Lemro's ears, and they were absolute garbage. They were like dollar store Spock ears. They were terrible. But then Electra shows us her ears, and they actually look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her ears actually look like they put some thought and some work into them. It's like,
maybe she brought her own.
Yeah, maybe she did.
She's a Trekkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, they hired her specifically because they found her at a Star Trek convention. Yeah, they're like, hey, you want to be in our movie?
She's like, I've got my own ears. You're hired. But like, why would you put such garbage on your main character? Mm-hmm. Like that you're actually going to put like close-ups on his ears to kind of have us come away with, oh my goodness, he's an alien.
I mean, honestly, I know it's rhetorical, but on me, like, maybe he couldn't sit in the chair, the makeup chair, that long. So they're just like, fine, here, just whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and that's why they gave him the silly hat. It wasn't part of the original design. They're just like, fine, here, you don't have to sit in the chair every day.
Well, that's, yeah, again, well, he's wearing the hat because he's supposed to be Sam Spade, but.
Yeah, yeah.
But uh-huh. That's one of the other things, too, is like that this movie doesn't understand is that Sam Spade is the guy that gets the shit beat out of him on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. He's not supposed to be the super cool guy that's good at everything he touches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's the regular guy that gets his way through this whole ordeal because he just won't stay down when you knock him down, basically.
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of people, not just with this, but a lot of people miss about this genre. Mm-hmm. Is like, not just a couple of months ago, I read the Shaft novel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know Shaft is like the big badass, watch your mouth, you know? Yeah. And it's like, Shaft gets his ass beat nearly to death in that book. I mean, like, legit, he's on death's door. And yeah, you know, he toughs up and he wins the day. But it's like, it's a detective novel through and through. And the detectives always get their asses fucking beat.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, yeah. So,
like, Philip Marlowe's a tough guy, but there's always a tougher guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, and it's what that doesn't understand about it and what the Big Lebowski does.
Mm-hmm.
which is why the Big Lebowski is such a good kind of, oh, strangely good and authentic Philip Marlowe.
Yeah,
it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, this is like there's no detective work in this. Like, he's not asking any. Like, everything comes to him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, he doesn't go looking for anything. He just sits still, and people keep coming to him with stuff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like the only thing he does is he lets that one guy go so that he can follow him back to his hideout.
Oh, yeah, he puts a spiny tracer on him.
It's like the only vaguely detective-y thing he actually does.
Yeah.
Except, you know, have a shitty office.
Which, side note, the one guy, Skunk, is played by Robert Axelford, who is most famous as being the voice of Lord Zedd on Power Rangers. And when you go and watch it, you're like, oh, my God, you're right. Well, he's also he's also the voice of Finster, and he sounds more like Finster in this. But.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a longtime actor with a primarily voice acting career, and he's just done a little of everything. And I guess apparently when you would ask him, he would very happily tell you that this is the worst movie he'd ever been in. hated this movie. And it's funny too, because if I didn't know better, I'd swear that this was a vanity project, because it's absolutely got that vibe to it, where, you know, it's like the main actor is also the writer and the director and what have you. But the Victor, as he's billed, who did most of everything in this movie, is not in fact the main character, although he did go on to create Early Edition, the CBS Saturday Night staple from the late 1990s.
Was that the newspaper one? The newspaper from the future one or something? Okay.
That's the one.
Wow.
These are the two things he did. Alien Private Eye and Early Edition.
Yeah. Ripping off this and then Newspaper Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
So, what if we replace Dean Stockwell with some paper?
Paper and a cat.
Paper and a cat.
And a cat. Well, you got to have something on in between Dr. Gwynn and Walker, Texas Ranger.
Do we know, like, is static not an option?
It was Saturday night. It might as well have been.
And like I said before, John Alexander, who played Skama, he of the terrible Peter Lorre impersonation, is mostly famous as a costume actor. Like I said, in a lot of things on his IMDb, he is credited as gorilla or gorilla performer. Which makes me wonder, did he just have a gorilla costume and they just were like, okay, yeah, hey, we're cool.
God, he must be so pissed at Andy Serkis. Like that, he's just taken his livelihood away with CGI monkeys. Like, you know, he's done now.
Yeah,
can't get arrested in the town.
Yeah, because he was in the Planet of the Apes,
the Marky Mark,
the 2001.
Yeah, Tim Burton one. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Yeah. I can remember Tim Burton's name for a second.
Yeah, see. I bet when they heard they were making another one, he was just like, yes, I'm back. It's like, what do you mean Andy Serkis is doing it? the whole vibe of the character and the kind of, like, as like you say, Dan, the whole Vanity Project thing, it just kind of almost feels like in a different universe, this was made by Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, yeah.
With him as the lead character.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he's kind of on the same level, except that he's just stiff, whereas Wiseau is insane.
Yeah. Yes.
And we probably would have had, like, you know, two more sex scenes in the middle of the film that are entirely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, apparently at least Lemro knows where to, you know, where to go when it's time to go there.
Well, to be fair, we don't really see it, do we? I mean, like, yeah, we see a bra almost come off, and then we see them sort of like rolling around a little bit, and then it's just the morning after. It's like, yeah, I mean, they might as well have cut to a train going into a tunnel.
Like, I'm going to point out, like, the scene ends with him finishing and her being like, I don't know if she finished also.
Who cares? Lemro's a man's man.
And then
him and his octopenis.
And then later on in the film, they describe, like, the wonder drug, and it's like, Soma, it's like better than sex. And I'm like, but I've seen you have sex. Are you sure?
aren't many things better than sex, Lemro?
I mean, there is an air of this. The whole thing's been written by a 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I like a movie about an alien that sounds like was written by aliens.
Yeah. Oh, man, we got to do Nightmare Weekend at some point.
I'm busy that weekend.
Yeah.
Just by title alone, I don't even know. I'm good.
It's like it's like a bot wrote a horror movie script, but then they actually filmed it.
Oh, okay.
I do question the economic viability of a drug that's guaranteed to kill you upon your fifth use of it. Like, how long are you able to actually keep your customer base?
For 200 doses.
Yeah.
The thing I loved about it is the fact that nobody has any idea what people shooting up drugs looks like. They keep using a swab.
Yeah.
They keep swabbing it.
Well, it's to keep you from noticing that there's nothing, that they aren't actually poking in with a syringe.
Yeah.
Well, and it's those big big ass syringes, not like, you know, the ones you actually use when you fucking shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It's like, what was this decision here? Is that all they could get their hands on? Is it, it's bigger, so it's something? What are we doing here? It's like
the syringe that you use to inject broth in your turkey.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you wouldn't die after five doses if you didn't use those.
Yeah.
Oh, did, can we talk about how apparently no one can tell the difference between Renee and that other lady?
Oh yeah.
Like, they're not wearing the same clothes.
Nope.
The skirts are different colors. Mm-hmm. They don't look the same, except for I think they both might be blonde. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I saw that and I'm like, he's like, Renee! I'm like, do all of us humans look the same to you, dude? Because they don't look the same at all.
The other woman is considerably taller.
Yeah.
For context, there is a scene where the villain has a girlfriend who he gets addicted to the drug, and then he gets tired of her, so he's going to kill her anyway. He's kidnapped Renee at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I'll give you give me the disc and I'll give you Renee. They give him the disc and he's like, okay, I'm going to give you Renee. And then a truck passes by, mm-hmm. and then they're like, cool, we're going to switch you out with my girlfriend. And that, which, by the way, insane planning, because it's like, okay, we have to wait for the truck to come by. And when you see I shot her, you're definitely not going to come at me for revenge or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's no point to it.
What is the point to it, though? Like,
right, yeah.
Like, I'm going to swap Renee out for this other woman. I'm going to kill this other woman, make you think it's Renee. Then I'm going to take Renee back to my hideout and kill her there.
Yeah.
Why?
Just so he can storm the castle and rescue the princess. That's legit.
Yeah.
It's plot armor. That's all it is.
Written by a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who has told you all of this after eating too much sugar? and then this happens, and he swaps the girlfriend's out, and he doesn't know. He thinks it's his girlfriend, but it's not. It's the other person's girlfriend.
And you know that it's written by a 12-year-old, too, because it's like, you know, how do we make this the worst guy in the world? First, I'm going to rape you. Then I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to talk to Hitler's picture.
Oh, Hitler, who art in hell.
It's like we just glossed straight over St. Anthony. Help me find that disc!
Where's the disc, Hitler?
Like, I'm just watching that scene the first time, and he goes into his little man cave and walks by the picture of Hitler. I'm like, why is there a picture of Hitler on the wall? Okay, you know, they're not going to go into it, but fine. And then literally like a minute later, he's praying to Hitler, and I'm like, okay.
I love that Lemro is like searching the hideout at one point, sees the picture of Hitler, and is just like, huh.
There's a part of me who is like, are you supposed to be an alien also? Because, and you just were like, yeah, you know, I read about this Hitler dude, and I'm going like, yeah, he's cool. And no, he's not.
Oh, God.
I'm surprised they didn't have like a guest starring Hitler as himself.
I don't know why, but I just had flashbacks to Hack a Lantern with the You're the Devil's Son.
Oh, yes. Bloody Hack a Lantern.
Oh, nothing but the best, Dave.
Oh, yeah. No, every week is a buffet.
And the thing is, I'm not even sure this is the worst sci-fi film that is directly cribbed from a Humphrey Bogart film that I've seen.
No.
Because I don't know if this is worse or barbed wire.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're about to evoke barbed wire, aren't you?
Yeah. That's just Casablanca, but, you know, in the future.
Yeah. With Tamura Morrison as Ingrid Bergman. I think we can all agree this is a film we experienced.
Yes. I'm telling you, if the next time that I find myself in a bad movie night situation, now this is probably something I would
do. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that this would benefit from an audience. I think that if you were in a room full of people that were of the mind to make fun of something, I think that this would give you material. Well, gentlemen, thank you for being here. Always a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Please take care of yourselves, drink some water, and go to bed.
Channel 37's Midnight Movie Show was presented by Will Ackerman, Dave Probert, Michael Sims, and DJ Toland. We're back, and roughly the same as ever. Dan didn't get an outtake, so just pretend I burped or something.